This episode of The Stack was first broadcast on the 18th of July 2015 on Monocle 24.
A new splash of sunshine in print from this very building, we reveal Monocle's fresh seasonal digest. In flight and on train reading through France and Italy, a rural retreat or a coastal casa. It's summer, in print, right here on The Stack. Today on the show, we crack the rather chunky spine of Monocle's new summer journal, The Escapist, as it hits the newsstand this week around the world. We'll be talking through its striking design from cover to content with our creative director, Richard Spencer Powell. We'll also be welcoming the very summery Francie Lawrence, who'll be talking us through her holiday magazine picks, whether on plane, train, or by the pool. Plus, we'll be hearing from our photo director, Poppy Shibamoto, speaking in praise of a title that puts pretty much everything to the test.
It has like lots of cooking, and it has like 10 different curries, and then how to eat brioche in 10 different ways, and then they put pictures for each one. So it basically takes 10 pages to explain brioche.
All that coming up on this edition of The Stack, Monocle 24's dedicated print industry review and analysis show. Hello and welcome to The Stack with me, Tyler Brulé, our 151st edition of this program. As I said at the top, we are joined today by our creative director, Richard Spencer Powell. Richard, I was waiting to see this. I was hoping, you know, you would think that UPS and or FedEx or the combined forces of them could get our new magazine to Japan in time. They didn't manage to do it. So I had to land last Sunday here in London and made a beeline to the office. And there the magazine was waiting for me in all its bright yellow brilliance. And I guess we've been talking about this, that it's coming up. But tell us a little bit about your kind of reasonably sized contribution, I would say.
Reasonably sized, yeah. Thank you. Very generous. Well, I think the first thing is the cover. I think that's always the first thing to talk about when any magazine comes out and any new magazine. And this for us is a new launch this year. It's a kind of sister publication to The Forecast. And something I think is quite interesting that we've done with this cover is we've used the same color ink as we have on our July-August issue, which is on the newsstand at the same time. And that was not a normal thing to do. Often when you do a new issue, you instantly want to do something new. But the thinking there was that we kind of wanted to pair them up and own the newsstand, as it were. And when you see them, actually, I looked this morning when they were on newsstand today, and it really drew you in. And the yellow pairing is really nice. I'm really pleased with it. I'm very, very pleased with the cover illustration. Oddly, I reminded myself who the illustrator was just before I come on air. His name is Ray Oranges. And as the cover is a very hot yellowy orange, I thought that was quite a coincidence.
Is it really oranges or is it oranges?
It's probably oranges, but in the art department, we pronounce our colours as per the Pantone book.
Excellent. It's a slight outgrowth, and I'm sure people who know our business and know the brand will see that for our July-August issue, our Meditrani, our newspaper, has become Meditrani Piccolo. That has actually gone into the main magazine, and not in all markets around the world as well. It goes out to all of our subscribers, and it's also available on the European newsstand because we collaborated with a partner on that one as well, who was much more sort of interested in European distribution more than going completely global. Aside from that, though, this was we took a decision last year that we would do the forecast. We saw an opportunity at the end of the year, and this is very much the sibling in many ways. But for those who haven't seen it yet, Rich, how would you say there's a pace change? And I think as we said at the top of the program, the focus here is very much travel. Andrew and I wanted to do something which was a little bit opportunity focused, I think, building on what we do in business in the magazine every month. But what was your thought in terms of, I guess, talking to Poppy with regards to commissioning it, but also in terms of overall visuals?
I think in terms of visuals, you want to do something that's very much focused on the unseen out there. I mean, you want people to be excited, and there should be a sense of discovery when they look in. As much as you want to send people on journeys, you know, inspire people to travel and to get out there, I think you also want the pictures, the pictorial stories, to actually feel that people are being taken on a bit of a journey. At the design concept, I think when you're designing something on a slightly smaller format with paper that is primarily used for books, when you've got a project that's going to sit on newsstand for 6 months, I think you want to be a little bit more bookish in the way you think, in the way you commission, And the layout, I think the pacing is a little bit more even-handed than a magazine. I don't think you need to be as attention-grabbing once you're inside the book.
Right.
Certainly on the front cover you do. But I think you want this to stay with people. I think you want them to take their time with it as opposed to leap to their favorite section.
Right.
And of course, it's, you know, there's all new articles in there. There's nothing that the reader would be familiar with because there's no A to E section. It's based on 10 journeys, 10 destinations, and then slotted into that. There are some other nice little tidbits of fashion and some nice, beautiful expo photographic stories, amazing Beirut story, which we finished the book on.
Just before we go, tell us three standouts for you. I think we always live with something. We look at it on the wall. We look at the stories when they come in. Sometimes, you know, the best pictures, they just don't always end up how we expect on page. Some things we think, oh, yeah, that was okay, becomes a much-loved story. So what are the three standouts for you?
Personally, I think Beirut, and I just mentioned it, is a favorite photographer, and I think that is just how you capture sunlight.
Do you want to name check the photographer?
It's Felix Odell, I believe, Swedish guy.
Yeah.
It's a short story. It's a fashion story. It's only 3 to 5 pages, I think, but it's from our Tokyo team who've been with us sort of 6 months. And I just think it kind of it encapsulates what we think about style in this office.
Mm.
And I think the other story I really like is the Warsaw story. It's I've always wanted to go to Poland. I've never been. And that one just reminds me. Yeah. That one just reminds me what a fool I've been. And I should have gone there years ago. And I could be saying, yeah, told you so. But unfortunately, I haven't. But that makes me want to go.
I think also from my perspective, Rich, absolutely, if you look at Warsaw, an amazing story. Our Josh Fennert, Section E editor, did a great job. He also just hit the weather, too, which it almost looks like a Mediterranean city the way it was shot.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, it's got so much sort of street life there and people sunbathing. And again, it's this sort of slightly unseen. You know, we all know what we have a perception of Warsaw, but when you see it this bright and this summery, again, it just puts it on your kind of list of destinations to get out there and see.
We should also just demonstrate that people are rather sort of multi-talented here as well, that we sent this program's producer, David Pleasant, went to Trieste. And the Trieste story, again, that's also just another place I've sometimes been in Italy in the car thinking, okay, maybe I should just sort of take an extra day and just, you know, it's only 3 hours away, drive to Trieste, check it out. And it's definitely going to happen before the end of the summer. I just think visually he's captured, well, I mean, the photographer's captured an amazing story, but I think also just in words, David's done an amazing job. I'm not sure if you sort of felt the same as well that you want to.
Oh, absolutely. And it's interesting when you know, just coming off the back of a July, August, a big thumper issue for us, all about quality of life. And then you see that and you think, yeah. Wow, how did that not make it in? And it just, again, it's just sort of bursting with colour and it's somewhere you want to go and live and eat, drink and swim and have a good time.
Yeah. And even get into your budgie smugglers as well.
Oh, yeah.
Richard Spencer Powell, our creative director. Thanks. I was just chatting about our new edition of The Escapist, now on newsstand. Pretty much most places around the world, should be in Australia from Monday for the air freight edition as well. You're listening to The Stack. We're back right after this.
Do you ever feel like you've missed out on something? Have you been on the road? Miss the latest world news? Then catch up with The Recap. The best of the week's cutting-edge reports, comment, news and features from all the flagship shows on Monocle 24. Join us every Saturday from 1400 London time or via the Monocle 24 app.
You're back with a special summer edition of The Stack with me, Tyler Brulé, here in London. Now, I'm joined by one of this city's foremost magazine experts, Francine Lawrence. She has art directed and edited several consumer magazines, including the award-winning Country Living, which she was editor for 10 years. Francine is also a lecturer in magazine journalism at London's City University. You've brought all kinds of things. And what I really like, just when we're having sort of a chat sort of pre-program, is that you've sort of really sort of thought about this today in terms of we're going on a bit of a journey, aren't we?
Yes. I thought we've got to give it a theme.
How are we doing it?
Okay. So just recently, I had to travel from Rome to Paris and then to London by train. And of course, there were the magazines. And being the magazine-aholic that I am...
You're talking about the onboard, not at the kiosks.
No.
Right, in seat. Yeah.
Absolutely, yes. In the little, you know, bag in front of you. So I just can't help it. And because I'm a lecturer at City University and I've just come out of marking mode, I started to mark the magazines.
So
content design.
Right. So we've boarded the train in Rome. So we're on probably Trenitalia, I would imagine.
We are.
So hopefully you're on not a regional train, you're on the Frecciarossa.
We are on the Freccia.
Very
La Freccia.
Good. And I can see. So you've pulled that up. We have a familiar picture of Mr. Armani on the cover. I believe I've seen that that shot of him probably several times before.
I think so. Okay, so yes, they're celebrating. It's a special edition for the expo at Milan. And so they're celebrating 40 years of Giorgio Armani. So what would you do if you had one of your most stylish icons of fashion and style and design and you've got him on your magazine? Sadly, La Freccia have gone to the photo library and got the dullest picture they can find of this absolutely amazing man. I was a bit disappointed, really.
Well, I was going to say, particularly that, we've seen this cover image countless times. I'm wondering, can we go to the outside back cover? I'm wondering, did Mr. Armani buy the outside back cover of the magazine? No, he did not.
No.
We've got some Alfa Romeos on the outside back cover. Okay, that's fine. Just wanted to check. All right.
Yes, no, he did.
Now, what are the criteria? Because I see you've got your marking sheet here.
I do.
Through it.
Well, I think the thing about magazines is that we... Rather than newspapers, where we just sort of grab them because we want to know what the news is, and then we think about how they look afterwards. Mm. With magazines, it's about how they look and feel. They've got to have a quality that makes you want to pick them up and touch them. So that's my first thing. So I suppose that comes under design, really.
Sure.
And the cover. So the cover, sadly, on this one, La Freccia does not get, I'm afraid, they're zero for cover.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
It's bad.
Okay.
Yeah, it's bad.
All right.
However, inside, there are some interesting things. They have to deal with the dual language, which is a challenge for a typographer. You've got to.
Always, yeah.
So that's one of my criteria for these magazines, is how do they deal with putting one or two languages in? They've done it okay. But what's happened here is that if anyone from La Freccia magazine's listening, editorial team, come on, you've got to start manning up to the ad department, because the ad department have done a fantastic job in selling loads and loads and loads of ads and squeezed out the editorial.
They have. And also I can see there's a lot of kind of annoying little fractional ads here and there as well, which always it's always a challenge that if high points to a designer, if they can overcome that as well.
Yes. And not enough use of double page spreads.
Right. Okay, so anyway, it looks like maybe commercial success as well, if they're getting the right page rate for the magazine. So they'll get some good marks there.
For commercial success, yes. But my final thing on my list is, would I keep it to take to the pool later on my holiday, or would I recommend it to friends? And I'm afraid,
Right, okay. No. So we made our way to Paris.
Yes, and we're on the TGV.
Right.
So there we are. We get on to the TGV, which was lovely. Thank you very much. First class. I like that.
Yeah, SNCF.
Yes.
Right.
But, oh dear, it's called Bileria.
Which sounds like something you could actually get on a dirty train, Bileria.
It does actually, doesn't it? Yeah, not very nice. And it could have been so wonderful. Mm. But sadly, what it lost is navigation is very important. You've got to find your way around these magazines. So the contents list has to be quite good. Mm. And the little slugs at the top of the pages. There's some interesting content. The news is good. The exhibitions, and the things that you might want to go and see. The things that you might want to know about if you're traveling to France. But they're, sadly, they've tried to do too much.
Right.
They've got it in French, in English, and in German text. And the poor designer.
Right.
I mean, I really feel feel for them.
At that point, you should probably be doing either special inserts in the back as summaries, or you just have to say, look, we need a bit of more money from the state,
exactly.
And we need to do three separate magazines.
You're absolutely right. That's what I was thinking myself, because it's just too confusing. You really don't know where you are.
And we should say as well, the Lyria project is a bit of a joint venture, because it goes into Switzerland. So I think also SBB, the Swiss Federal Railways, are also involved with it as well, which why it probably has to be a bit of a crowd pleaser for everyone.
Okay.
Just going back to the key criteria, do I want to pick up this cover? If it wasn't right in front of me, would I be running to, what is it?
I don't know what it is.
I mean, there's the headline in French, Consommation, and it's a sort of very fleshy looking color, and it says, follow your nose. I can't tell if it's actually through a microscope up someone's nostril or something quite awful.
It's
very bizarre.
It's something organic, and it might be a very close-up of...
Could be a plant, couldn't it?
A plant. But yes, with that headline about noses, you might think it might be someone's skin or an eyebrow. It's not very pleasant,
is it? It's not nice at all. No.
No. So I'm afraid...
Total marks?
I gave it two, because it got a little bit of information.
Only 20%, that's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
We get to Paris. I imagine we get on the Eurostar.
Yes. So then I had a lovely weekend in Paris, and then I got on the Eurostar, and I thought, you know, with my marking mode, I was a bit depressed about these train magazines, and I picked up Metropolitan.
Yeah.
And do you know what? The cover, for a start, look at that cover, if we can describe it on radio.
Yes, we have butterflies, and we have Paul Weller sort of surround. He's on this blue background, and just it looks like, and I'm not sure whether he's in a museum or where he is.
I think he's probably in a bar that happened to have some absolutely fantastic wallpaper covered in these really almost 3D butterflies.
And he's looking good. I know he's got a bit of a tan. He's also in a bit in summer mode, not looking too pasty. And I think absolutely it does the job. Certainly as a cover for a train magazine.
I think it looks great. What I really like about this magazine is that it's called Metropolitan, which I think is a great name. You know, it's a city-to-city magazine. It's it handles the English and the French extremely well. It makes no compromises. It's not trying to please everybody.
Does it have to put Dutch in as well?
No, they haven't. It's just English and French. But they've put in some real quirky stuff. And another thing on my criteria is it has to have a surprise factor. I think magazines ought to surprise people. And I love the feature in here about haircuts. It's a lovely idea. An illustrator has illustrated in a very graphic way some very odd haircuts. And then they've sent a photographer out from the magazine to see if they can find people that have these strange top knots and odd half haircuts, you know, where they have long on one side and things like that. And they found them in Shoreditch, of course. And it's just a lovely, funny, quirky, well-written, well-put-together feature.
Yeah, and I think it shows an eye for good editing and trying to not just understand your audience, but as you said, yeah, hopefully quite literally turn heads when people are reading the magazine. Marks for that?
Well, I think it's going to get a distinction. I think this is an 80% job.
Oh, it's 80%. Okay, good. It loses 20% though because they copied our M. So that's the only.
I've just seen that.
I know.
Naughty.
So, I know, very naughty. Anyway.
The M of Metropolitan is just like the Monocle one.
It is. Anyway, we're just looking at magazines on the rails, quite literally. And during the break, one of the titles that you want to talk about, or we want to talk about In Flight, we can't spend too much time in there because I want to get poolside, and you've brought some great poolside reading as well. But let's be in the heavens for a moment. What do you want to chat about?
Okay, we're on the plane. We're going to Australia.
Oh, we are? Okay, good.
Yeah. The thing about this magazine is it's Qantas, its magazine. It's called Spirit of Australia. They've just done a redesign, and I think that it's a real success story.
It is a success because it was just amazing that David said, our producer, he said, oh, he said, you know, we're going to be talking about Qantas magazine. I don't fly Qantas that often. I was in Australia just last week, and because, you know, they've had the same magazine for a long time, not that exciting. I just saw the little hint of the front cover poking out, and I thought, redesign. And here you are. And you've got that front cover. Lovely chap, could be in Brooklyn somewhere. But they've gone for a white strap across the cover. Qantas is very pronounced in black. I think it's a very contemporary design, and I'm glad you brought it in. What are your views on it?
Well, there's no mistaking the branding.
No.
They're not worried about, you know, giving it another title. It's Qantas, Spirit of Australia in small. We've got a great photograph, soft depth of field of a guy on a bike, and the story is about taking bike tours in New York. And inside, the way that it's photographed is absolutely superb. A photographer called Sam Polser, who I haven't come across before, but other people may have heard of. And there's some terrific shots of a guy throwing a bike in the air. And it's just an inspiring read. The whole magazine you would want to keep because it's well written. The typography is excellent. I think they've used probably the sans serif is probably Gotham. And then they've used another really good bold serif face. I'd like to look it up. It just works. And I want to take it to the pool.
Yeah, it's incredibly modern. I think we've seen Qantas going through a huge reinvention. And as you know, as a piece of, some airlines, of course, they'll classify this as part of their in-flight entertainment. Other airlines also say this comes out of their marketing budget as well. But what I really liked about it is that it presented very good editorial. It's not just a mouthpiece for the brand and its roots and its destinations. And of course, it does fly to New York. But nevertheless, I felt it brought something new to the table. And what was interesting, Francine, when I looked at the masthead as well, I think there's been a change of also, it must have gone up for, you know, out to tender, because it seems to be in the hands of a new publishing group, and that you just yeah. feel there's some fresh energy there.
Absolutely. It's a really good magazine. It's unashamedly celebrating Australia, but it still has lots of really good information about other countries
yeah,
and towns that
they feels,
visit.
It feels properly international. Okay, we say we're going to go poolside. We've landed. We're off of our A380. What you've got there, would you say these are sort of the four titles that you'd feel sort of happiest within your lounger?
Yes, I think I would. I think when I'm on holiday, I love travel. I love food. I love design. And so I picked up, there's one magazine that I always buy every single time, which is Côte West or Côte Sud. I absolutely adore all the editions of this magazine. It is about...
It's one you don't throw out. I have all of my Côte Suds. I have all of my Côte West, Côte Est. I keep all of them. And they're just great to go back and look at again and again and again, whether it's for a destination, just a bit of inspiration.
They are. They're beautifully colourful, usually interiors, but they have terrific information about exhibitions and things that are on. The food photography is absolutely divine. And like you, I keep all mine as well. They don't date. It just makes you feel happy. Mm. It is incredibly indulgent, but I think that's what you want on holiday. You want colour. And I just want to live in Côte Sud or Côte West. I mean, that would be my heavenly place to live. I want to live in every single house, on every single beach, and eat with all those people at those tables.
Let's say you're on holiday in Cornwall, but then you're reading Côte Sud or Côte West. Does that create a certain type of anxiety? Or even if you're somewhere on the Med, you think, oh God, you know, maybe... Now, some Côte Suds, you know, they do get to Italy and other places, mostly France. But yeah, does that sort of just create some sort of tension suddenly that, oh God, I'm in the wrong place. I need to get to that Côte Sud place.
If I'm on holiday in Britain, down on the south coast, and it's raining, then most definitely I want to be somewhere else.
You're looking for a flight probably at that point.
Definitely. But I tend to look at it in London, to be absolutely honest, if I'm really truthful.
That's all right. Yeah, you've got to three more, and we have to probably clip through them in about 3 minutes.
Okay, so. All right. So another beautiful magazine, but I've and it's very popular, is Serial. Travel and Style says what it is. But do you know what? I've been buying this magazine because I love it, because it's so beautiful. Mm. But you know what? I've fallen out of love with it.
Oh.
I think it's too cool for school.
Right. There's a bit of that going on with contemporary, some of the new publishing. But anyway, tell us why.
I really admire the way that they indulge themselves, and they've got, you know, a 10-page feature on the Anglepoise lamp, which as a designer I think is great. But everything about it is just a little bit surface deep. And I do feel that it's rather like the sort of, you know, I'm a well-married woman now, you know, the guy you pick up and he seems to be great because he's so good-looking and gorgeous. Mm. But then you think, do I really want to spend the whole weekend with this person?
Mm. Or even the rest of your life.
Or the rest of my life. There's no depth there. And
right.
I think that Serial is in danger of becoming a parody of itself. And there's a lovely feature on Bath written by Charlie Lee Potter. The words are great, but the images are just too small, pure, and not enough history. There could be some really fantastic historic etchings and beautiful pictures, and we just need to get a little bit under the skin.
Country life you have there.
Okay. From the beauty and pureness of Serial and country life, I just love it because in an ever-changing world, country life is always there. It's rather like Uncle Monty in With Neil and I, this sort of eccentric grand uncle who just knows about things. And every time you open Country Life, you learn something, whether it's about architecture or about history. Okay, the layout isn't the best in the whole world. It's not the most exciting.
But there, it doesn't really matter, does it?
It doesn't. Mm. I love the fact that there's a feature on newts in this. The photography is fantastic. It's really quite good. There's a contrast of features about gardens, about food. But everything that will tell you what it is to be English. And I love the fact that I think it's been going, I can't remember how many, it's definitely over 100 years it's been going. Mm. And hopefully it will go for a lot longer. And I can't believe it.
And amazing that it's a weekly as well.
It's weekly.
Yeah, incredible. Just time for your last title, your Food and Travel.
Okay, well, the last one is Food and Travel. And, you know, usually when I come here, I feel that, you know, we're so design conscious in here in Monocle. Everything's so beautifully done. Food and Travel has been around for a while, and it does what it says on the cover. It's slightly brash. It's got glossy paper, not the trendy, you know, recycled matte paper. But, you know, it's a really good magazine. And I like the fact that it's not as pretentious as, say, Sunday Times Traveller mm-hmm. or Condé Nast Traveller. It really does give you a flavour. I'm sorry, I'm looking at a food page of the places that you would want to visit. And it's not too grand. It's not too rarefied. Mm. And it has a lot of very practical information about restaurants and where to go and what to see. And actually, it's a good value magazine.
Yeah. And I think we've touched on it before. It does many things that just... I think some magazines have forgotten. There's nothing wrong with it being on glossy paper. And it just, I think it gets all of the mechanics very, very right. Well, I think just that's a fantastic list. I think would, certainly get me through at least a couple of afternoons. And I think, you know, and good magazines, as we know as well, you want to sort of dip in and out of them as well. You don't have to sort of do them in one sitting.
Absolutely.
Francine Lawrence, very, very good to see you. When we come back, our Poppy Shibamoto is going to be here with this week's edition of In Praise Of. You're listening to The Stack. Stay with us. And you're back with The Stack here on Monocle 24. We are in Studio 2 today here at Midori House, and I'm Tyler Brulight. Now, for our semi-regular feature where we hear some of our editors, contributors, and friends speak in praise of what they've come across in the world's newsstands, well, last time we heard from our Istanbul bureau chief, Chris Lord. Today, we turn to our director of photography, Poppy Shibamoto, and she's going to talk a little bit about her favorite title, Kurashi no Teko.
I chose this magazine called Kurashi no Techo. It's a Japanese magazine. I first read or saw this magazine in a living room of my house in Japan. I think it's either my grandma or mother bought it. It's kind of like domestic science, health, cooking magazine. And it's a bit granny magazine, but had a bump up a few years back with a new, I think, editor-in-chief. And it's something I like reading in a weekend. So this issue is the May issue, and it has like lots of cooking, and it has like 10 different curries, and then how to eat brioche in 10 different ways. And then they put pictures for each one. So it's basically it takes 10 pages to explain brioche, a method of eating brioche. And that's kind of amazing. Like I read every page of it. And other pages shows like strange things like 100 points in how to take care of your teeth. And that's also a bit crazy article, but I do read them. So this magazine was founded in just after the war by a woman called Shizuko Ohashi. And she actually died in 93 years old in 2013. And she wished all the women to have beautiful life and quality of life just after the war. And that time there was not many things like fabrics or good quality soy sauce or these things. And then, you know, she was trying to give tips to how to live better life. And so this has like also craft pages, and apart from cooking pages, cleaning tips to how to look after your flowers, all these things. And then half of the book is also rough paper, and then it's all essays. So it's a lot to read as well as many big pictures. And this is why I like this magazine called Kurashi no Techo.
Our Poppy Shibamoto there. And that brings us to the end of this 151st edition of The Stack with me, Tyler Berlay. Many thanks to our studio guest today, Francine Lawrence, and our very own Richard Spencer Powell. Our producer today, almost as ever, was David Pleasant, and our studio manager, almost as ever as well, Claire Urban. If you have any comments or queries, then drop us a note to info@monocle.com. Remember, we're back at the same time next Saturday. I believe Tom Edwards is going to be in the seat. I am going to be in my Italian perch, but I hope he'll be calling in from there. And of course, you can always listen again via monocle.com or iTunes or SoundCloud. But for now, for me, goodbye.